Friends, and President Biden signed a continuing resolution today averting a government shutdown. The stopgap measure extends funding deadlines until March 8th and 22nd for Congress. ABC's Karen Travers has more.
That means lawmakers have given themselves just one more week to try and work out six appropriations bills and three more weeks to try to reach an agreement on the remaining six bills.
Ahead of May's trial date in the bribery case against Senator Bob Menendez, a New Jersey businessman accused of giving Menendez's wife a Mercedes-Benz in the bribery scheme has pleaded guilty to federal charges. As part of that plea deal, Jose Uribe must cooperate with prosecutors. Menendez and his wife maintain their innocence. Closing arguments underway in the misconduct hearing of Fannie Willis. The Fulton County DA is overseeing the Georgia racketeering election case involving former President Trump. Defense attorneys are asking a judge to disqualify Willis, claiming she had an improper relationship with a prosecutor. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Some changes may be coming to Wisconsin's Office of School Safety if it doesn't get more money. Attorney General Josh Call is asking lawmakers for more money for the office's 24-hour tip line. Federal money is keeping it open for the rest of this year. Call's plan would use money the state gets from concealed carry permits after that. $32 million cut from diversity offices is now going to workforce development at Wisconsin State Universities. Lawmakers on the Joint Finance Committee took the final step yesterday. Democrats are slamming the Republican maneuver.
It was never proposed that this delay was intended to find additional resources to assist all students. This delay was created in order to remove resources from certain students.
Representative Tip McGuire. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. St. Luke's and Aspirus Health have announced they have officially combined. According to a press release, the system will now operate 19 hospitals and 130 outpatient locations with over 15,000 employees across Wisconsin, Minnesota, and the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. The organizations announced their plans to affiliate over the summer. In the press release, Aspirus committed to honoring St. Luke's contracts and invest at least $300 million into St. Luke's strategic projects. A maritime designation from the U.S. Department of Transportation has allowed Lake Superior College in Duluth to give students more opportunities. The designation will allow the school to train more new students and even current maritime employees in things like firefighting, welding, and repairs. Maritime officials hope the increased training will help bring more people into the field and address concerns about an aging and retiring workforce in the industry. It's now one of 50 schools nationwide to get the designation. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Todd Allbush Show.
Green Bay is a fine town, but I'm just telling you, you're better off to take a horse. Don't drive in Green Bay, and for God's sake, don't get a parking ticket. So how about this? We find out how much revenue does Green Bay get from parking tickets, and we say that the Packers are going to donate that, and we're going to have free parking in Green Bay. How about that? Todd for mayor of Green Bay.
The Todd Allbush Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Packers are thinking defense. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from the NFL Combine. In Indianapolis, where Packers GM Brian Gutekunst watching players work out, including the top-ranked defensive back in the draft, Iowa's Cooper DeJean, was asked if he'd enjoy playing again with fellow Hawkeye Lucas Van Ness, Green Bay's first-round pick last year.
It'd be cool to play with Lucas again, for sure. I love the Iowa guys, you know, so he was a great teammate, you know, to play with. Just an absolute freak. I've talked to him a little bit throughout this process. He's given me some good insight.
NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks in Chicago after beating the Hornets last night, 111-99. Doc Rivers says Damian Lillard is not only a lights-out shooter, but good on defense as well.
Dame has great hands. It's like you saw he got another steal in the second half. He told me that. He said, man, Doc, coach, I can play defense. It's just that Portland, I had to do a lot of offense. He said, now I can concentrate a little bit on both ends with all these guys, and he's doing that.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
sunny and spring-like again as a strong south wind surges our highs to the low 50s. Some patchy fog is possible early tomorrow morning, otherwise another mostly sunny day with highs soaring to the upper 50s and even warmer on Sunday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 49.
Now. We tend not to think about now. We dream about tomorrow, relive yesterday. But right now in front of us is victory over cancer. Right now, cancer research funded by the V Foundation is leading to better treatments and saving lives. Victory over cancer is there for the taking by you, because today's cancer research is tomorrow's victory. Learn more at V.org.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Friday on Nightlight, I welcome Max Inc. host Terry Barr. It's Nightlight with Peach Wabba from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 a.m. WBZH.
May the last one burn into flames.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Yesterday, I took issue with the Supreme Court's decision to hear Donald Trump's claim that as a president, you can commit whatever crimes you want and not be held accountable. And at the end of the show, I painted a picture of really what the Supreme Court, the domino that it may have hit, and extrapolated out the deprivation of all of us of the facts being presented in a court of law and having evidence tested in Trump's trial for trying to overthrow our democracy. And that by doing so, we know from polling that there are large portions of voters who would be seriously disinclined to vote for Mr. Trump if he were tried and convicted. And others that indicated that if they were seeing the evidence presented in court, that they would not be voting for Mr. Trump. If the evidence, of course, was persuasive. And so I tipped that domino over because the Supreme Court has basically now prevented us from hearing those facts before the election. And I tipped that domino over and I said, well, then Trump wins and let's assume conservatives take control of the House and Senate. And let's extrapolate out. Let's extrapolate all these policies that folks like DeSantis and the Heritage Foundation and Marjorie Taylor Greene and Moms for Liberty and Donald Trump. Let's just assume that they get their way. What does that start to look like? What are the impacts on our lives? Aside from the fact that President Biden could kill you or your family, excuse me, President Trump, if he wins again, could kill you or your family and get away with it if he does it while he's president. And a little bit of the feedback I got from folks was, well, that's all really extreme, and we have these institutions, and that won't happen. Part of that intellectual exercise was simply saying, assume these people get their way. What is extend the policies that they're saying that they want to their logical conclusion? And that is not a hypothetical exercise that only I have engaged in. It has also been engaged in by the Heritage Foundation itself. Of course, they put a really good spin on it. But they have 887 pages that they have published. It's a bunch of pretty far-right thinkers, policy wonks, all organized by the Conservative Heritage Foundation. And it's basically a tome. And it's called Mandate for Leadership, the Conservative Promise. And in the mandate for leadership, a conservative promise is in large part the sort of PR version of the doomsday scenario that I laid out for you. Basically, get rid of minimum wage, turn back all labor laws, reduce environmental regulations to nil. Abortion's illegal. School and education and libraries and the books we read now dictated by the far conservative nationalist right. More cancer, deregulate guns entirely, you know, more mass shooting. That's, and guess what? That's in fact what they talk about in 187 pages of the mandate for leadership, the conservative promise. 855-75-CIVIC. If you're a conservative, what's the logical end? How do you see all of this ending up? Right? Should religious leaders dictate how children are educated in public schools? They are already doing it through voucher, charter, and choice programs, but in the public schools themselves. Should religious leaders dictate what books are available in our public libraries? Should the federal civil service be eliminated? Should most federal jobs be turned into appointed jobs? And I want to share with you some of what this, quote, mandate for leadership, the conservative promise, a doomsday for everybody. That's not actually part of the title. Calvin's laughing. Yeah. The doomsday part. That's just my editorial. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Because I wasn't making it up. That wasn't just a Maggie, you know, I want to be angry tear. It announces itself. This book is part of the Heritage Foundation's Project 2025, a unified effort to be ready for the next conservative administration to govern at 12 noon, January 20th, 25, to undo the significant damage that will have been wrought under President Joe Biden. By the way, Donald Trump mentioned 300 times in this tome, Nikki Haley just once. So I think, you know, they're kind of assuming it's going to be their guy. They talk about climate fanaticism. What's most upsetting about the book is not necessarily, people have conservative viewpoints about various topics. It's not the conservatism. It is the utter disregard for law, their unbridled viewpoint that basically the chief executive, the president, should be able to do whatever he wants. Their disregard for expertise, for the independence of research, for any separation between law enforcement on the federal level and the presidency. They don't want an independent DOJ. They don't want an independent FBI. They want those branches of government beholden to the individual who happens to occupy the chair. And their utter disregard for career public servants. That's what they're doing. It portrays the personal embodiment of popular will and treats the law and expertise and independence from the political arm of federal government as an impediment to the conservative agenda. And so all of these changes that they're proposing in the consolidation of power at levels we've never seen in our history is so two-faced. It's so scary that the question has to be asked of these people. If you think that the president is a king, what if the president is Joe Biden? We got the callers stacking up, which is great. I want to give you all a little bit more of this so that you can respond. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. The main point, the takeaway from this book is that the conservative viewpoint whether you're talking about the argument that's being made by Trump's lawyer to the Supreme Court that he is the divine right of king and whatever he does is by definition in the interest of the American people, that even his committing of crimes is in the interest of the American people if he does it while he occupies the office of the president and therefore can never be accountable no matter how heinous the act. War crimes? No problem. He's president. Doesn't matter. Atrocities, genocide, concentration camps, doesn't matter. Here's some of the specifics. And by the way, each chapter basically reads like a think tank analysis. Like, it is deep in the wonk of D.C. It uses all kinds of technical terminology. You'd lose your mind if you tried to read it. But there's nuggets. There are nuggets. So day one, here's what goes. White House's Gender Policy Council, its Office of Domestic Climate Policy, the Department of Energy's Office of Clean Energy Demonstrations. The EPA can do without its Office of Environmental Justice and External Civil Rights. And NOAA, the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration, that just goes away. Because, quote, it's one of the main drivers of the climate change alarm industry, end quote. At the Department of Health and Human Services, the Reproductive Healthcare Access Task Force. Now that goes away. And it's replaced by a task force that ensures that all DHHS services divisions, quote, use their authority to promote life and health of women and their unborn children. Wait a minute. Didn't Justice Alito and the Supreme Court just say that that was the business of the states? I'm pretty sure that's what the Dobbs decision said. Nope. Of course, it targets DEI. Just about every corner of the executive branch, DEI is scrubbed. Okay? And not only that, at the Treasury Department, they would identify and interview every official who has taken part in any DEI training to assess the, quote, scope of their efforts and ensure that they are eliminated. And it would, quote, treat the participation in any critical race theory or DEI initiative as per se grounds for termination of employment. You care about history? You want to know what's going on? How did we get here? The context, the framework of how our institutions work? Often they're racist underpinnings. You go to one of those sessions to try to learn a bit of history. As our friend Reggie Jackson explained this week, you lose your job in the federal government. Oh, yes. This assault on data and research. They basically will take away any sort of independent research. Like, people will be hired for their, quote, managerial acumen and alignment to conservative values as identified by the president, not their personal research production. So, like, no, we won't hire you because you're an expert. We'll hire you because you're a loyalist. And every state's going to now be required to report, quote, exactly how many abortions take place within its borders, at what gestational age, and for what reason. They're going to ask the reason for the abortion, the mother's state of residence, and by what method? Huh? If you're on the line, stay there. I'm going to take callers when we come back, and I'm going to continue to share these nuggets because this is the doomsday. They wrote it down for us. I didn't make it up. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Lock it in, folks. It's going to be a ride.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
You need skill and a little luck to play the game of pool, and you could say one cue-making company in Wisconsin has both. Schmelke Cues in Rice Lake is the oldest pool cue-maker in the U.S. and remains a family-owned, third-generation operated business. Schmelke started as a one-man shop in the 1940s. Now more than 20 employees work at the facility. So do you know which state has the most cue-making manufacturers? Is it Maryland, Minnesota, Wisconsin? The answer, coming up. Pool is an old game, and the cues similar to the ones used to play today were created in the late 1600s in Northern Europe. Pool came to America in the 19th century. So did you guess which state currently has four of the top five cue manufacturers? It is Wisconsin. And Schmelke Cues in Rice Lake has also been inducted into the International Cue Makers Hall of Fame, making this a worldwide slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Some butterflies and love in the afternoon, but we got to deal with reality. I'm Maggie Dawn. Give me a call. 855-75-CIVIC. We're talking about the plans from the Conservative Heritage Foundation to turn the United States into a kingdom. A kingdom that should adhere to religious philosophies and conservative principles that anybody who doesn't subscribe to that should basically be purged out of government and have their voices muted. So we're going to require the collection of abortion statistics and inquire why women are getting abortions. Didn't know that was the government's business. But at the same time, they're going to prohibit the collection of employment statistics that are demographic. So your gender, race. It says, quote, the government should maintain a biblically based social science reinforced definition of marriage and family. I cannot make it up. Separation of church and state, bah, forget it. They're going to create a personnel database, a sort of right-wing LinkedIn, seeking to attract some 20,000 potential administration officials, and that they must ensure that political appointees are committed to the president's success. The National Institutes of Standards and Technology in the Commerce Department. Yes, we're in the weeds. Yep, any research conducted by that division of the Department of Commerce with taxpayer dollars must, quote, serve the national interest in a concrete way in line with conservative principles. In other words, don't do independent research. Make sure that your outcomes reinforce conservative principles. In fact, often they explicitly say or state that the research needs to help support X, Y, or Z theory. In other words, presume the outcome, then do the research and make sure the research matches that. Joe from Madison, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. What do you think of this?
I thought that your sum up of it yesterday was absolutely right on, and I hope that you repeat that that bit of broadcast again and again, because it was impassioned and really realistic and fair in terms of looking at what is being proposed by these conservative groups, and what the impact is going to be for us. So I would just add to it a little bit, Maggie, and thanks for going through this stuff. First off, I find it kind of hysterical that they're talking about the climate change alarm industry. At the same time, there's a great article in the New York Times today about the catastrophe in Texas with the fires that are out of control
right there.
And one of the things they end up with is describing the ways in which these ranchers are now looking at enormous leaps in their property taxes and they have no idea how they're going to keep going with their absolutely charred fields and dead animals. So they may think it's just a climate change alarm industry, but people on the ground are definitely feeling the effects. So I just wanted to add in to one thought. There is on Wikipedia, there is a quote from a guy named Donald Ayer. It's A-Y-E-R. He was the deputy attorney general under George Bush. So not a flaming liberal, a deputy attorney general under George Bush. And he says about this, I'll just do three lines. He says that this array of ideas is designed to let Trump function as a dictator by completely eviscerating many of the restraints built into our system. He really does want to destroy any notion of rule of law in this country. And then he closes by saying, if you implement some of the ideas he's considering, no one in this country would be safe. Now, that is a conservative talking, not a liberal, a conservative talking, but somebody who has worked in government and clearly understands, you know, the balances that need to exist. I don't think you can be too extreme when describing this. I mean, it's like people, you know, getting mad at the meteorologist when the meteorologist says, gee, there's a tornado headed our way. Oh, no, it's just a little wind. It's not a little wind, people. It's a tornado of considerable power and violence. So,
Joe, 100%. You call me anytime, Joe, because you are so right on point. Absolutely. What she's talking about is what does this document, what do the policies that they're proposing say when the law and the conservative agenda conflict? And the Heritage Foundation tells us exactly what. The legal function cannot be allowed to thwart the administration's agenda by providing stilted or erroneous legal positions. In other words, if a lawyer tells the president he can't do it, they're presumed to be wrong. That the agenda is presumptively correct, that is dictatorship, because the rule of law now serves the agenda, the political agenda of the president. Jack from Merrimack, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. What say you?
Well, first of all, you missed one little thing here, which is that they also are working towards or guaranteeing a 50-year MAGA reign of power, or should I call it terror, in this country. These people, Trump's supporters was interviewed, and he made a statement something like, if I wanted to live in a democracy, I wouldn't vote for Trump. Well, these guys have no idea what they're asking for. I've been in countries that have had dictatorships. One of African nation I flew into one year had a bunch of military patrolling their airport. They had Uzis, which are not exactly known for great targeting abilities in their airport with their military. Another country, Russia, that I flew into, I had to bribe my way to get in, even though I had a valid passport and a valid visa. And when I got in there, my friends and I were accosted by I guess you'd call it a small gang. They weren't violent, but they tried to basically pull anything worth any money off of us.
Yes, Jack, I agree. I mean, the document says, again, this is the Heritage Foundation's, what do they call it? The mandate for leadership. They call for the, quote, indefinite curtailment of refugee admissions. That's a concentration camp. They want to deploy active duty military personnel, National Guardsmen, to assist in arrest operations along the border. I've been in countries where the military, you know, is at the border. It's scary. How about this? Power of Congress. Congress would no longer review U.S. foreign arms sales. The book states, except the book states that lawmakers would no longer review U.S. foreign arms sales except when unanimous congressional support is guaranteed. Wait a minute. You only have Congress weigh in when you know you're going to win? That it says in the book. When, quote, unanimous congressional support is guaranteed. If you're on the line, stay there. We're going to go right back to the phones after the bottom of the hour important messages. Stay tuned. We got our folks bringing you some key information about weather. All going to be there. I'll be back with you just after this quick breath for this critical information from our show sponsors. Right, Kelvin? Gotta get it in.
Just right.
Stay there, everybody. I'll be right back to you. 855-75-CIVIC here on the Maggie Dawn Show.
Hey, everybody, it's Todd Alba. Monday, noon to 2, we'll preview the Super Tuesday primary and more right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Today, young adults face big questions about their future. How will you make your mark? Do you want to be part of something bigger than yourself? Are you ready to learn new skills and make new friendships? Perhaps you have a dream that you're ready to make real. So, how will you make a mark with your future? As you embark on a journey toward finding these answers, the military can serve as a resource for providing help, information, and opportunities. A public service message from the Department of Defense. To learn more, visit todaysmilitary.com.
Just because vegetables aren't growing outside right now doesn't mean that the community-supported agriculture farmers are just sitting around. I'm Charity Seebecker with the Midwest Farm Report, and Tess Romansky, Communications and Development Manager for the Fair Share CSA Coalition, provides some insight into what changes they're seeing in CSAs.
Add-ons have also been really popular, so farms who offer grain or meat add-ons where you can kind of purchase additional things in addition to your veggies, eggs, flours, to kind of round out and offer more of a whole diet type share has been something that we've seen a lot of increase in. It's also really attractive for consumers because it cuts down on the number of products they have to buy elsewhere. So CSA can become kind of more of a one-stop pickup rather than, you know, one of several places you have to go to get your groceries.
That was Tess Romansky, Communications and Development Manager for the Fair Share CSA Coalition. She added that it's more than just getting food from a farmer that you know. It's about supporting that farmer, living a healthier lifestyle, and understanding how your food is grown. I'll have more news right after this.
Innovation. Livestock producers rely on BioVet for microbial and nutritional support. Keeping livestock eating and productive. Make BioVet your trusted partner for your livestock health since 1991. Learn more at biodancevet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
We're exploring farming in the last frontier. Alaska. Come and join us. Hi, everyone. I'm Pam Yonke. The date's August 22nd through September 1st. We'll visit a variety of Alaska farms, including a private boat excursion to experience a shrimping operation. Of course, you'll get all the majestic scenery and impressive wildlife along the way. Visit holidayvacations.com, keyword Pam, for more information and to watch a travel video, or call 888-557-1020 today.
I'm Charity Seebecker from the Midwest Farm Report with a look at your agribusiness news. Farmers not enrolled yet in the Agriculture Risk Coverage or Price Loss Coverage programs for 2024, you have until March 15th. Both safety net programs delivered by USDA's Farm Service Agency provide vital income support to farmers who experience substantial declines in crop prices or revenues for the 2024 crop year. Producers can elect coverage and enroll in ARC County or PLC, which provide crop-by-crop protection. Or farmers can enroll in ARC Individual, which protects the entire farm. Although election changes for 2024 are optional, producers must enroll with a signed contract each year. If a producer has a multi-year contract on the farm, that contract will continue for 2024 unless there's a change. If producers do not submit their election revision by the deadline, the election remains the same as their 2023 election. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Sunny and spring-like again as a strong south wind surges our highs to the low 50s. Some patchy fog is possible early tomorrow morning, otherwise another mostly sunny day with highs soaring to the upper 50s and even warmer on Sunday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 51 degrees.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now? Is to take a Kringle and go away.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Shall we?
Yeah. I eat buzz like you for breakfast. Buzz.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. I'm eating the Heritage Foundation for a late afternoon snack here on the WAUK, broadcasting live from beautiful downtown Waukesha, all across the Civic Media Radio Network. Join us, 855-752-4842. Great info. We've been talking about the Heritage Foundation's mandate for leadership, which is basically how to turn the United States into a dictatorship, and about 1,000 easy steps. Texters calling it the Contract on America 2.0. Indeed. Is this the Handmaid's Tale? Their utopia, our dystopia. Indeed. What's next from this tribe of traitors to our Constitution? Unholy acolytes, get ready to surrender women and girls as concubines to the crowd. Indeed. Another texter letting us know that they can't find the second hour of my show from yesterday, Calvin. So let's be sure that we check that. Folks, we'll get that to you. Thanks for letting us know. The texter also says, I think you are absolutely right to talk about this stuff and sound the alarm. This is how democracies slip away. Indeed. Indeed. We're going to go to the phones, 855-75-CIVIC, right? That I got it right? 855-75-CIVIC. 855-752-4842. I just want to share with you the last sort of bits of specifics that scared the crap out of me. So right before the break, again, on foreign arms sales. In other words, foreign arms sales. We're going to sell the weapons of war to foreign governments. Congressional approval not required unless unanimous support is guaranteed. Oh yeah, those appointments that need confirmations, don't do that. The book says, just put them in acting roles so that they can immediately start forwarding the president's agenda. This nugget. The White House can tell the State Department when to remain, quote, radio silent in the face of congressional inquiries. That's like, the executive branch is just going to ignore congressional subpoenas. That's fine. And this little tidbit. The president and his team at the Justice Department, so his handpicked lackeys, are just as empowered as any other branch of government to, quote, assess constitutionality. The courts, the legislature that legislates and writes the laws. Nope. Courts who review the laws to ensure that they comport with the Constitution. Nope. That's the executive branch now, too. A new conservative administration must, quote, embrace the Constitution and understand the obligation of the executive branch to use its independent resources and authorities to restrain the excesses of both the legislative and judicial branches. Balance of power, checks and balance, no siree. It's a dictatorship. We now have the divine right of kings. Jean from Eau Claire, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. What do you have to say?
Phew, I'm really glad you're covering this. This is enough to give people nightmares every night. I mean, I've been watching the patterns of behavior of this group for a long time. First they tried to, do busing over, I think it was in the North Carolina area, and they tried to change the schools, and people fought back then. Then I noticed how they were getting involved in states, just as example of our state with Scotty Walker and how he got rid of ethics and how he got rid of different boards. Then he got rid of, the testing so people, could take tests to get jobs. He oversaw who could get hired in our state. I mean, it was just ridiculous. And I thought, what in the world's going on? So I started paying attention to other states. They were getting laws written for them, like what we had in Wisconsin here when Scott Walker was in office, how nobody even signed the bills, and we had bills, changes, that nobody even authorized going through the state of Wisconsin. Isn't that great with the Green Bay sweep and the Badger Twitter and, all the things that are going on is so clandestine, but people need to really open their eyes because these people are dangerous. And speaking of weather, remember, former President Trump drew the hurricane path and told people where to tell where the hurricane was going.
Yeah, we don't need experts from NOAA. We'll just get rid of NOAA. And Trump will just use a Sharpie and, you know, tell us what the weather and climate outlook is. Stephen from Green Bay, you're on the Maggie Don Show.
Hey, Maggie, I think you're doing a great job ripping off the bandit. I'm going to rip it off a little further for our wonderful audience.
Do it.
First of all, we can take a match, no, a blowtorch to the Constitution, because they are doing everything in their power, and now the six tarantulas in the Supreme Court are helping them to undo everything that's in our Constitution, first of all. Secondly, if I'm an average citizen of the United States, which we all are, and I now know that the president has the power to do whatever the heck he wants, whenever the heck he wants to, and the highest judicial branch in the United States, the Supreme Court, is going to do nothing to stop him, what is it to say me as an average citizen doesn't think, well, heck, the president of the United States doesn't have to follow the law? Screw it. I'm going to do whatever I want to do, too. That's going to lead to a complete anarchy.
Yeah.
We're going to literally have our neighbors shooting us because they don't like the way we look or whatever.
That's why, sorry to interrupt, Stuart, but yeah, that's why I call it the new Jim Crow, right? It's, oh, I don't like you. It's take your stand your ground laws and the castle doctrines to their absolute ridiculous extreme, right? You get lost, you ring somebody's doorbell. Well, they can shoot you now. All of these things are not good for any of us. Even if you're more inclined on the conservative side of the spectrum, this isn't how democracies are supposed to work, for crying out loud. Stephen, I'll let you finish. Sorry about that, friend. What else?
And I mean, I hate to say this as an American, as someone that's born in this country, because I really do consider myself, you know, fortunate to be born in this country, but I'm disappointed. Things that I wouldn't have in my wildest dreams thought were possible are happening in this country, and they're not good things.
Yeah, that is the God's honest truth. This is what happens. I mean, I lived all of my years up until 2 years ago where abortion was legal, where people had the right to choose how to control their bodies. Gay marriage had become legal. There seemed to be this pendulum moving in the way of greater equality, greater equity, access to power was diffusing, the internet. All of these things were seemingly promoting a more democratic, more just and verdant society, if you will. But that pendulum has swung back. And in the complacency, I think, of a lot of folks, oh, it'll always be better. The arc of history bends towards justice. We're good. No. Democracy takes effort. It takes effort in every single election cycle. Dave from Madison, you're on the Maggie Don Show.
Oh, hello. Is that me?
That is you, sir.
Oh, great. Thank you. Yeah, you know, the Heritage Foundation is an extremely influential opinion leader. And together with the Federalist Society, their billionaire backers, and the right-wing conservative network, they've already taken over, really, the country to the extent that you could make, arguably, we're not really a democracy anymore, except that we have that last institution of free press. Of course, that's all consolidated. And then you have, you know, the issue of Julian Assange, who's a journalist, who they're prosecuting. Now, all power right now flows from the Supreme Court. The right wing has consolidated their power almost completely. You have, now let me just go through a few things to demonstrate about the all power flowing from the Supreme Court currently. They overturned most of the Voting Rights Act.
Yep.
They allow unlimited dark money campaign contributions. For that, they overturned bipartisan legislation, McCain-Feingold.
Yep.
We have the gerrymandering cases, which I can't even believe that those cases were adjudicated.
Preach, I mean, brother.
And yeah. We have voter suppression cases. It's unbelievable how bad it is. They have arrogated to themselves even regulatory power now via the EPA case.
Chevron doctrine is going to be gone. Gone. No deference to expertise.
That's what I was just going to mention, the Chevron doctrine case. Absolutely. And that's only, you know, this is just a few examples. There's labor laws. They've overturned, you know, that weakened labor unions.
Yep.
Which used to have some influence. And they've even overturned an election, you know, in 2000 against their own judicial philosophy. Yep. Power is completely consolidated in the Supreme Court. There is no right to appeal from the Supreme Court. They have absolute power. How is that different, say, than the Standing Committee of the Communist Party in China or the Faqi and we still have some residual rights that haven't been adjudicated against us yet, or the Faqi and the billionaire Ayatollahs.
Yeah, that's what we're looking at. And my fear is it's not the power that the Supreme Court is wielding. Again, it's as extreme as it's ever been in the history of the United States. Go check out my podcasted episodes from December about the shadow docket. But it's not an independent Supreme Court, right? It's a kangaroo court with Trump putting in place Federalist Society, Koch brothers founded, billionaire class founded, vetted list to wait and pack the court. The court packing didn't happen by Democrats. Obama's appointment was stolen from him. David from San Francisco, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. What say you?
Oh, howdy, Maggie. Yeah, I'm glad you're talking about this. As a matter of fact, that Chevron,
Chevron doctrine.
Yeah. If you think about it, regulations like the EPA or Food and Drug Administration, those regulations are designed as self-preservation against corporations that just want to sell cheap junk, poisonous cheap junk. I was a big supporter of Ralph Nader and, you know, when he was running for president.
Yeah.
And I heard him give a speech about a book that inspired him at the very beginning. It's called 36 Million Guinea Pigs. And it was about the old hucksters that would go from town to town in a wagon and selling Dr. Feelgood kind of medicines that were nothing more than turpentine and liquor or whatever. And that they were basically poisoning whole counties with their nostrums.
Yeah, that's exactly right, David. I'm sorry, we got to go to some messages here. But the snake oil salesman of yesteryear is Big Pharma. It's Dow Chemical. It's the polluters. It's big oil. Regulations protect us all. The Supreme Court doesn't believe in them. And so the Supreme Court, it's not an independent court. It's a court serving one man, Donald Trump. If you're on the phones, Sharky, I see you. We'll get you right before I bring on I'm so excited about this next guest. I have eaten at this man's restaurant. The food is inventive. It is wonderfully challenging. It's interesting. And this chef with this beautiful restaurant on Wisconsin Avenue in downtown Milwaukee has been nominated for the National Best Chef Award by the James Beard Foundation. He's going to join us. So if Sharky, I'll get you right when we come back from these important messages. Then we're going to be talking to Chef Greg Leone, executive chef, owner of Amelinda Restaurant in Milwaukee. I cannot wait to talk about some fun stuff this afternoon with Greg when we get back. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. If you want to ask Chef Leone some questions, you can also join us. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Keep it locked, everybody. We'll be back with more after just a few messages.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show.
No matter what the season, let Micken's professional team from Lakeside Property Services and Management take care of all your landscaping and yard care needs.
from mowing to plowing and everything in between, including patio, walkway, and driveway lighting, yard beautification, and maintenance. Trust them to manage your summer homes with complete peace of mind. Just call Nick at 715-661-8114 at Lakeside Property Services in Park Falls, Wisconsin. Nick says landscaping should be the first thing you see and the last thing you worry about.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Welcome back, everybody. This is going to be a great couple of segments coming up here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Just want to read out some of the texters we've been talking about. The Heritage Foundation's Doomsday Prophecy, also called Mandate for Leadership, the Conservative Promise. Some texters saying, rather than asking the Supreme Court about Trump's immunity, they should be asked if Biden would have immunity for ordering a hit on Trump. Yeah, flip the hypo and see what the answer is. Other folks saying, I'm deeply concerned about the Supreme Court's decision to hear Trump's case on immunity. They should throw the case out. Is there any outside chance that the reason it took the Supreme Court so long to decide to hear it is because there is disagreement? Yes, that is possible. But usually they will ferret out where they are, the justices will, in short order. And it only takes four justices to agree to hear a case. There are six conservatives on the court, so it shouldn't have taken this long. The worst thing that Trump is selling is selling wicked ideas as those they were the word of God. And who can question God? That one's making me chuckle. Thanks for participating on the text line. And Sharky, I promised you to get your comment or question in before we bring on Chef Leo. And Sharky, what you got for us?
I will be very prompt here. And congratulations on your show. You're hitting it out of the park. I have a vision here, and I got a granddaughter, three, and a grandson, four. And when they all see these pictures at nighttime of the main streets of Ukraine and all the destruction, all the way back and forth, and the death, then I think of how many people actually realize when they're looking at these pictures, and it's hard to do, but how many people really think that, oh, my gosh, if it happens like that here, the police will just come up with brooms and shovels and handcuffs, and the rescue squads will be waiting to take care of you at the hospital. I think not. So they should envision that, and every time they see it, they should look at that. Yeah. And that's the last thing I want to see for any of my people, my friends, my family, this country. And I'm struggling. I'm now 65 years old. And I love my grandchildren, and I love my friends, and I love my community and the good people in it. But yeah. Boy, oh boy, what are they thinking?
Yeah, I hear you, Sharky. So, the only way to save our democracy is through democracy. Get off your ass and vote, right? That's how we do this. That's how we love one another and our enemies. But speaking about love, this is going to be a hard pivot. I love the food that this man makes. It's just amazing. The Maggie Dawn Show is now joined by James Beard, National Best Chef nominee, Greg Leone of Amelinda Restaurant. Welcome, Greg. I've been so excited to have you on. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm very excited to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Heck yeah. Let's start from the very, very beginning. What got you into cooking, Greg?
You know, I was lucky enough. I grew up in a family where everybody did a lot of cooking. And my father is of Latin heritage and my mother is of Jewish heritage. So you couldn't get like three members of either part of the family together without being in the kitchen and food being around. So it's just been part of my life ever since I was a wee little one. And And that's just been an interest of mine since I was a kid. So why not?
Right. Well, do what you love or don't bother doing it. Right.
That's what I say. And I tell people when they say they're going to get into this business, don't get into it for the fame or the fortune. Get into it because you love it.
Yeah.
Because you will be sorely disappointed.
Yeah, that's, listen, I won't analogize to what I do to what you do, but I will say this. You don't get into radio for the fame portion either. You get into it because you love it.
Right?
That's a beautiful thing. I too grew up in a family where there was food as the center of all of our gatherings and a bunch of really amazing home cooks. That we were passing around Bon Appetit recipes when I was about 10, right? It's like, oh, it's got 25 ingredients. We hope it's good. You know, you got to go to three stores to find everything. I think the cuisine at Amelinda is one of the most unique that I have ever run into. And I've eaten all over the world, New York and Paris, Hong Kong, Shanghai. Tell folks what Amelinda's cuisine is all about.
So what we do is we draw inspiration from the Iberian Peninsula. So, you know, the part of Europe where Spain and Portugal is. We just take their flavors, their techniques, and their dishes, and we just kind of adapt them to what we like to eat, to what we can get here in Wisconsin, and what we can get from local farmers, and make it a little bit more approachable to the Wisconsin palate. And that's really what we do. There's no pretension here. There's no foam. There's no towers of eel and that kind of stuff.
The tiny tweezers, right?
No. I had a sous chef here years ago. It was like the second sous chef I've had, and he showed up with tweezers, and I was like, I don't, like, what are you doing with that? Like, how are you going to flip a steak with that? No disrespect to people who use tweezers in the kitchen. You know, it has a place, but that's not us. We don't use tweezers, and we don't do teeny little pretty food.
Well, I think your food is beautiful. And fascinating. I have eaten the squid ink. And you always seem to have something on the menu with squid ink. And I always order it because it is always so interesting. What's your favorite thing on the menu these days that folks, if they're coming through, can find?
Right now, so our menu changes constantly. So right now, God, what do we have on there right now that I really love? Because they're like my children. And, you know, you're not supposed to have a favorite. Let me think about this right now. I like the rabbit, actually. So I'm a big fan of cooking rabbit. And so, you know, we try to find different recipes when we put it on the menu. Look for it in different regions of Spain. So the one we have right now is cooked with sherry, manzanilla sherry, and preserved lemons, which I really, really like. It comes with dirty rice. So that one I like. The carcamusa, which is something that we have on our menu. It's like a heavy rotation. It's a pork stew. The servers like to call it the pork pool party. Because you get in this bowl, and it's very brothy, and it's pork and sausage, and it's got like a tomato sauce with it and a roasted pepper sauce with it. That one's one of my favorites, too.
Oh, those sounds...
As far as starters,
yeah.
I would say the grilled endive. You know, we've gotten a couple of people like, oh, my God, endive is so bitter. And I'm like, well, that's what endive is all about. But we pair it with like these anchovies, so I think it's pretty tasty.
That sounds amazing. We're going to talk with you more. The rabbit... The pork. Well, you had me at pork stew, Greg.
Okay.
My mouth is watering. Can you stick around for a little bit more time?
Of course.
Heck yeah.
I'm all yours.
Wonderful. We're going to listen to the news, sports, and weather at the top of the hour, but you are not going to want to miss this conversation with James Beard, National Best Chef nominee, Greg Leone from Milwaukee's own Amelinda Restaurant. Back with more here on the Maggie Dawn Show.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there. See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Fire crews are getting a break from those winds that have fueled this week's deadly wildfires in the Texas Panhandle.